and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Sounds of the ancient man. Now nah, you done blow your candle. You done look on all your gifts. We done sing a happy birthday. And yet done made a birthday wish. While my mind asking a question. Lord, I wonder who it will be. You give your first piece of birthday cake too. Oh Lord, my God, I pray that it's me. Oh, did I need all the food? And they done drink on the rum speed. We can't scream, we dance all night long to the sounds of the ancient man.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, and all day parties. Good morning. On the clock turns 1 year old today, and we are accepting all manner of birthday gift. It don't even have to be for me. We sharing it with somebody who ain't getting nothing for their birthday this year. Ah, boy, good morning, good morning, good morning. I am so happy to be here this morning because on the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. That's right. On the clock turns 1 year old today, and my guest in studio, I am so pleased to have him here. My guest today is Mr. Adrian White, MP for St. Anne's constituency. Good morning, Mr. White.
Congratulations to On The Clock, the born-in day. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Listen, so people don't know this, right? But this is a perfect guest to have on my show because 175 years ago when Adrian and I was running through our neighborhood, running through the bush, ain't nobody ever thought we would have been on a radio show talking to each other like sensible adults that know how to do adulty things. Ooh. Good morning, Mr. White.
Good morning, Mrs. Green. How are you, my dear?
I am good, thank you. So listen, we're going to get into this show quickly. I just got a note or two. I have to say good morning and happy birthday to my cousin, Brenda Knowles. Happy birthday. And my cousin made my prom dress for me for 1992, 50, because if we was in the bush at 175 years ago, 120 years ago when I graduated from UC. Happy birthday, Aunt Brenda.
Another special occasion, yeah. And a great school.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. QC Comets. Suckers, I know y'all out there doing big things. I seen some announcements this week, and we say congratulations to y'all, too. In fact, there was a young man. I know that he's a sucker, and he related to good people. I get that part, too.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody big red is good people.
Yeah,
big red.
They scored one of the highest SAT scores internationally. A young man, I can't remember his name. I just know he's good Bahamian people. I gotta find him and bring him on my show. Because one I know that Adrian and I have in common is that we grew up in families and communities that had an appreciation for the importance of education and the culture of education, you know? And so we can big up these young people when they're doing big things.
Most definitely. A lot to be proud of in this country.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm just going to run through little housekeeping things. And then we actually may talk about one or two of them through the show. But I want to say Yesterday, we had a plane crash. A pilot took off from the Selinden International Airport yesterday morning. The pilot attempted to return to LPIA waters about 9 miles off of New Providence. He was rescued and brought to New Providence. But let me tell you all something about flying in the Caribbean. You can't just get up in one plane and fly, you know. This ain't like just jumping in your car and throwing it on the road. You know the car's a little wobbly. You know your turn signal on that side ain't working. You can't just jump in the plane and throw it in the air because of that. But I had the fortune of going to St. Croix. And on my way back, going to St. Croix was pretty easy. The plane was a little big, right? But on the way back from St. Croix, they put us so small, you have to line up next to the plane so they could assess your body size. And they're not being rude. They literally have to assess your body size, your weight, but to figure out where to put you in the plane with the rest of the luggage. That's tiny, tiny.
That's when you put the extra prayer out there.
Yes.
And you hold your seat arms tight.
Yes, buddy. Look here. That's when you want Bahamas Air flying you or any Bahamian pilot.
Yeah.
Right? Flying you.
Come late, but you know you're getting home on time.
Right. And that's it. You flying in the Caribbean, in the Bermuda Triangle, in this part of the world, this Pacific part, can be very dangerous. Yield and experience pilot. The wind conditions and just how easy it is for a plane to drop out of the air. You realize how important this job is of piloting people, navigating people, and leading them to their destination. We just say thank goodness that that pilot survived that crash and was returned to New Providence safely. Like I said, there's something to get into them in our conversation. I would like to talk to I read it just like I wrote it, right? Mr. White is offering himself for the position of the FNM. Today, I get to ask Mr. White some questions about politics and governance. Now, whether he answers them or not is up to him. I ain't giving him a hard time. I still know his mummy. And y'all know how communities in Bahamian women and mothers go. They pinching. So we're going to have a fun conversation. But Adrian has agreed to play the How Bahamian Are You game show with me today when we ask questions like coat suit or white linen suit to determine just how Bahamian you is. So here we go. Mr. White, I know you. The residents of St. Anne's constituency know you, but please introduce yourself to the wider
audience. Jaron, I'm 43 years of age. I've grown up in the Bahamas, consider myself an island boy, ran around barefoot whenever I could. I traveled throughout the family islands, Exuma. I'm very familiar with Tucker Roll and his family and the success that he's had there up in Abaco and Green Turtle Key. Through Rose Island, but once you hit a certain age, you know, you want to be with your older friends and keep up with the goings on. But the age of 22, so I was called to the bar in the Bahamas very young, back in London. I worked at Higgs & Johnson. I worked with, as well as working with John Delaney. And then in 2014, I opened my own practice on Cable Beach, and we now have three attorneys under the name of White Law Chambers, myself, Neville Wilscombe, and we have a pupil that's working with us now, Danielle Miller. And two great staff. But politically, I'm a member of the Free National Movement Party, representative for St. Anne's, former chairman of the FNM St. Anne's Association, and I'm putting my hat in the ring to run for deputy leader of the greatest party in the country. That's the Free National Movement.
The second greatest party in the country, because I haven't launched officially my Chikchani yet, so you could only claim first for a little bit. I mean, you could claim it. You say what you want.
Yeah, I support the Chikchani movement as well.
Absolutely better because they have Johnson Road on lock. Chikchanis and raccoons, that is.
Yeah, good for them.
Absolutely. So, you were inducted as president of the Rotary East Nassau Club in 2020, am I correct?
I was in July of 2020 and served as president for 1 year in Rotary. There's a great leadership ladder. Persons come up, persons move on, persons get involved in other community activities while remaining as a Rotarian. The Rotary year is 12 months, and it begins July 1st and ends June 30th.
Okay. So it's going to tell you, I need you to get back there in Rotary, but then there's a balancing act, right? And you got to, after successfully securing the St. Anne seat in 2021, you got to figure out how to balance these things. So let's get right into that question about balance. I had a list of questions for candidates leading up to the 2022 election, but the Honorable Minister pulled a fast one on us, and I didn't get a chance to ask all of these lovely candidates, especially the new candidates, these questions. So today I'm going to ask you a couple.
All right. Well, I'm still running in 2022, so we got convention in February.
Yep. Boy,
so
look here.
2022 election still on the books.
I want to ask you some questions about that too. Oh, but let's get to this one.
All right.
Both politics and governance are a complex series of balancing acts. How will you balance your obligations to the Constitution, to the people generally, to the constituency you serve specifically, to party, and if you have the opportunity, to the PM and cabinet? How are you going to balance these things? Because see, I can tell you, look here, I from St. Anne's, and if you're building a mango farm, you need to build it in St. Anne's. And I don't care that Exuma or Andrus is the best place for that. Use my MP, and I want you to bring that money to my constituency. And I don't care that there's a million raccoon that live in my constituency. How do you say to a constituent like me, man, look here, Ms. Green, I know I have this obligation to my constituency to generate ideas and opportunities, but surely you don't want a 15-acre mango farm in Johnson Road.
I want things to be improved for St. Anne's. St. Anne's is often overlooked. We look at St. Anne's as being a safe seat. I refer to it as a sensible seat, but there's a lot of money that comes out of the government budget that goes into different constituencies, and rightfully so. But as the representative for St. Anne's, St. Anne's is my priority. And the way that I'm going to balance it is being true to myself. You can't go wrong when you're being true to yourself, and the truth will always set you free. So no matter how complicated politics gets, as a lawyer, I look at it right now, instead of having one client you're taking instructions from and trying to balance a case for, as a member of parliament, you're balancing 6,000 clients, their needs, their interests. And it only gets bigger, whether it's internal politics within a political organization or national politics, when you get a chance to be in government and serve in cabinet. At the end of the day, the way to keep balance is being true to yourself, being authentic. And if you're a good person going in, you hold on to that, you'll be a great person coming out.
Mm-hmm. And what do you say to voters, right, that don't understand that, right? Because I can understand when you come to me and you say, now look here, Ms. Green, look here, Aaron, come on. I could maybe find you an opportunity for a scholarship to go learn how to grow mango, right? I could possibly find a partner in the community to set up a stall for you and others to sell mangoes in our constituency. I could even find an MP from Fox Hill and tell him, look here, I got some people here who want to partner with y'all with a little mango project. But there's no way I could get Ministry of Agriculture to take a project that's designed for a family island and put it in Johnson Road. And Ms. Green, you know that don't make any sense, right? Like, how do we say to voters, like, look, we need voters to be realistic and reasonable with their expectations of what an MP can do or what a prime minister can do for one set of people or the whole set of people.
Yeah. Well, one good lesson that a lot of constituents have told me and other persons, I'll refer to Mr. Pratt from Johnson Road, since we're talking about Johnson Road. He got up in my face in a polite way, in a genuine way. Okay. He told me, don't make promises that you can't keep. Mm-hmm. And when you're on the campaign trail, people are asking you for this or they're asking you for that. I'm not talking about fridges, just what are you going to do? And then the second you say what your intentions are, you kind of get a reply back. Well, don't tell us you're going to do something if you're not going to do it. But when it comes down to a mango farm, 15 acres, any type of project like that, there isn't a reason why you have to automatically accept that something can't be done. You look at what Ellsworth Johnson did in the Yamacraw constituency. They have a massive farm now in what was just overgrown bush. It's a splendid complex on the property. But when you come to planning any project, something that I learned from being chairman of the planning and subdivisions committee, town planning committee, is that you have to have the available land in the case of a large project to do it. And if you can't have it there, you work some way that you can have a co-op and individuals that are interested in it can be maybe out on Calpen Road, have a plot out there on Calpen Road. Maybe an existing farmer has a large parcel of land that they can allow sublease plots. And through the Ministry of Agriculture, they may accept that type of arrangement rather than just having a clear block that you can't sublease. Sublease for the benefit of the public. There's always a way to do the right thing, and it just takes an idea and a commitment to make the decision to get it done.
So I want to stick a question in here that wasn't on the list of questions. So how do you feel about selling islands? I once had to tell a donor in the advocacy world, please don't make fun of the Bahamas and any policy you think we have that is silly. For surely, if I sell an island to somebody, while we may have to go through some negotiations in court over the ownership of the land when they decide to leave, they can't take that land with them. I had to tell them, like, they can't put it in a bag and put it on a plane and take or tie it to the back of a barge and take it with them. How do you feel in from a leadership perspective, national leadership perspective, about selling land versus leasing land to foreigners?
There's an existing amount of fee simple land, freehold land, land that is no longer crown land. Personally, for crown land, anything activity on it going forward, I feel that it should remain the land of the Bahamas, land for Bahamians. It should remain crown land, and some lease arrangements should be made there. Yeah. Your point about when investors come in and then they go out, they don't take it with them, they leave it here. You know, there's different levels of investors, especially in private islands. Mm-hmm. You can have it where it's just a very high-end wealthy individual that buys it, puts a few structures on it with approval, and then when they leave those structures there, they'll likely sell it. But you can have more intense developers who are doing it for some type of resort activity, mm-hmm. even the cruise industry. You know, we continue to see a lot of issues with cruise ships coming in and taking over because they can completely develop the entire landscape of an island. Mm-hmm. And for them, most of the time, it's a business arrangement. Yeah. If they need to pull out because the business isn't profitable, they may pull out and leave devastation. And that's what irritates the Bahamians most. But crown land going forward, let's keep that for Bahamians. Even a big development project, we need to be in partnership with them on that with no risk to our return.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got some texts here. And I just want to say, Adrian, thank you for coming on my show because my first and favorite text has finally returned to me. Morning, Miss Green. FNM, FNM, always FNM. Well, I did miss you, texter, and good morning to you, too. I got a couple of texts here for you, well, specific to this conversation, but I got to read them. Let me read them.
Yeah. This is your show. You know what to do. This is the birthday show.
But listen, as I'm reading through some of these texts, how are you going to balance FDI desire need, the desire and the need of the foreign direct investor with the wants and needs of the citizen and the local resident? How do we balance that?
We balance it with what are the interests, what are the needs of our country first. And there's no problem, I think, once we meet that calculation, once we meet that mechanism for determining that. On the face of it, we look at employment opportunities. We've had a history of people working in hotels, whether it's at a line staff level in the restaurants or maid services. Now we have pools, but we can definitely go way beyond that. You talked earlier about Bahamians receiving the highest SAT scores in the world.
Yeah.
And the truth is, Bahamians are excellent at anything that they apply themselves to, and at every levels, any background. You're not stuck in a position because of what street you were born in on.
Yeah.
It's all about your desire and drive in this world. And with foreign direct investment, we have to look at a situation, or we have to approach it where we're not letting the cart be in front of the horse. We're in charge of the rig. We're in charge of the operation. This is our land. We put the horse before the cart. We know what we want. We know where we want projects and developments to be. And that's where we invite people to come. We don't just simply sit back and allow them to come up with the ideas. And then we wonder, can we stamp this or not?
Yeah.
We have to think long term. And that really comes down to planning. Mm-hmm. Planning not only for Nassau and for New Providence, but planning for Andros projects in Grand Bahama, projects continuing in Exuma, projects all the way down in Inagua, where Morton Salt is. We have to keep building our economies. We can't look at foreign direct investment as the enemy as Bahamians. We tend to lean that way and think, oh, well, they're coming in to do something. that we could do. Well, let's do it if we're going to do it. If not, let's go into an operation where we have things planned out, where there's opportunities for more than just the foreigners to participate in it through investment. That would be ideal. And there's definitely no hindrance or no bar placed on where Bahamians can be in those operations, from participating as entrepreneurs or from participating as employees, or what I think Bahama refers to them as, their associates and team members.
Absolutely. You know, for me, as an anti-imperialist, anti-capitalist advocate, I understand the role of the mega resort, of tourism generally in the mega resort in the Bahamas. And I don't say burn down the mega resort. I say, how do we work with, how do we use what the mega resort has that we don't have to enhance and sustain what it is we are trying to do, right, on the side of that. So listen, I've got two calls. I've got a couple of texts. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Let's go to the phone line, and then we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to play the game, because the game is the best game of all. How Bahamian are you? Caller, right. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Good morning to the nation. Who's your guest, Aaron?
Adrian White, Member of Parliament for St. Anne's. You're a good man, you're a good friend, the family man.
Oh, good morning, Mr. White. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for joining this birthday show for On the Clock. I'm doing well. And you?
I just wanted to join in. I was tuning into the conversation on land and development of land in our country.
Good man.
And seeing as so this is a driving point for me, Aaron, over the last 20 years, odd, I believe that we need to have a national development land policy.
We do.
Or legislation, rather, in place. Urban development, specifically, that determines how every community is going to be developed over the next 50 to 100 years in our country. Mm-hmm. I believe that we need to have that bank that was continually promised to the Bahamian people. We need to have that land registry bank in place so that we can identify what land we have available and who owns the land that is out there. Mm-hmm. And that would tie back into a national urban development plan that should be developed over the next 50 to 100 years. If not, we're simply going to be developing our country on a nick and on a knack, on a policy of who comes in and where we can fit them in, rather than this is the structure in our country, this is the direction that we're heading in, this is the amount of land that we are prepared to lease within every government term, more, certainly it could be less, but certainly no more, because we have future generations to consider. And then finally, Aaron, we have to consider the fact that we are a small nation with limited resources, in particular with land, and we have to be very careful how we manage the little resources that we have, because land is a key to wealth creation, is the key to development, and it holds the key to the development of our future. And whoever holds that land determines how our future and how our country will unveil itself and will continually develop remain stifled in the immediate,
Aaron, is that Anton?
Yeah, that's Anton.
Yeah, so Anton, you're right on point. You know, sometimes I don't always agree with everything you're saying or the way that you get around to the point. But actually, in 2010, Minister of Environment back then, Earl DeVoe, he introduced, and it was passed in Parliament, the Planning and Subdivisions Act. And that called for the creation of a land use plan. Exactly what you're talking about, a land use plan and land use policies that would govern it all. It didn't go so far as to say we need to first find out who owns all the property, but that is exactly what you're talking about. And as I served as the chairman of the town planning committee, I realized that we weren't applying that in the order that it should be applied. The Department of Physical Planning, which the town planning committee works with, is the sort of last approval for the Ministry of Works. So you have a Ministry of Works that's in charge of the Department of Planning, basically saying this is what we're going to be doing, and then the land, and then the Department of Physical Planning, Town Planning Committee says, yes, you can go ahead and do that, rather than the other way around, where we have a plan, Ministry of Works, let's now let you guys get the objective figured out and get this project underway.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, Antoine, I don't know why you was calling like that, because I wanted to ask you what was going on in Grand Bahama with the local government election. Why it looked like the PLP ran in local government election. I thought that wasn't allowed. Anyway, but those are good points that you made. I just got to make this point. Don't say we don't have any land, you know. We got tons of land.
Plenty land.
Don't mind the former prime minister. See, I think he owed somebody some money, and they was coming to collect, and he just panicked, and he said, look here, we don't have no land. I have nothing I could give you, right? I think that's what happened. But don't be fooled by that myth. We have 3,000 rocks, keys, and islands. Don't mind the 700. It's just like Mr. White says, a matter of determining what we're going to do with those rocks and putting together a national strategy to push forward with. But that's my music. We got to go to a break. And then when we come back, Mr. White Boy wanted to play this game, but we got questions.
We got more questions?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
they fun questions, man.
All right.
They are fun questions.
This a party or what?
Yeah, they ain't hard like drums and cowbell or sugar apple and sour salt. Let's go to that break, producer. You guys stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We will be right back with Mr. Adrian White.
Amen.
Grand Bahama, it's time to read all about it once again. As the Nassau Guardian starts a weekly Grand Bahama news supplement each and every Tuesday starting February 8th. Learn more about advertising opportunities in the Grand Bahama news supplement by calling Barefoot Marketing 727-9515 or 827-4578. Grand Bahama, make sure you get your Nassau Guardian daily and grab your Grand Bahama news supplement each Tuesday to keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My guest this morning is Mr. Adrian White. And before we get into the slap up, how Bahamian are you game show portion of the show, I've got some callers, I've got some texts. Now, guys, I got 20 minutes left in the show. This is a doozy, Mr. White.
Let's bring it. Bring it.
All right.
Game
time.
Who
is Mr. White? As his name implies, sneaking through that so-called safe FNM seat in St. Anne's through Brent Simonet. I might as well tell you he will need to debate and be thoroughly scrutinized that he does not serve special interests and unjust ways, especially in former leader and experience under FNM government. Okay. That's, I read it like, just like it said just now. I want to respond to this by saying we need to debate and thoroughly scrutinize everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I heard the first part of that, yeah. And there's this comparison to Brent Simonet. There'll always be a comparison to somebody that either you resemble for persons that can't see too far. But I'm my own man. Nobody else wears the pants that I wear. Nobody else walks in the shoes that I walk. I've always lived a life that has been separate and apart from the norm. And that's because I've always been driven to do what is right in my mind, what is right in my heart, and what is the best thing for the people around me and this country. I mean, we're blessed to live in the Bahamas, and we don't have any obstacles. No one's tying my shoes, causing me to trip up on issues of appearance or race. That's old news as far as I'm concerned, or that's the problem that other people can remain to be stuck on. I'm moving forward. I'm jumping over obstacles. I'm breaking down doors. I'm walking into opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Now, race is an issue for me, right? Like I told you, when you were campaigning for Brent, I said, look here, I don't have a problem with Brent as an MP. Brent is a good MP. I like Brent as an MP. I want him be my MP. Part-time employment program focused on maintaining lots, medians, the environment, keeping it safe for walking community. The renovations, the reworking of the Blair Johnson Road, Fox Hill Road intersection. Pretty good working relationship with the maintenance teams, whether it was work, Ministry of Works or now Beaches and Parks. However, those contracts are issued. I don't have a problem with Brent as an MP. I said, and then my problem with Brent as a PM is less to do about race and more to do about economic status and class and political ideology put together. Mm-hmm. And while those things can't sort of be separated, it's not primarily about race at all, right? So put that aside. I grow up with you. We get bite by mosquito together. I watch you all catch lizard because at that age I scared. I mean, I still scared to catch lizard, but I wasn't into the catching the lizard part, right? So I know you, Bahamian. And you were not just president of Rotary, but you had a presence in Rotary that made your ascension to the presidency possible.
Correct.
Right? You come into this game with your own credentials. And other MPs who have come into the seat that we all think is safe because of Brent have brought their own credentials and energy to the community. William Allen and Loretta Butler Turner with the after-school programs for young people, maintaining a community space.
Hubert Chipman.
Boy, look here. I forget about Chipman. He's another Hubert Alexander. Right? Hubert Alexander.
Yeah, Chipman.
I don't know where y'all F&Ms
are. I know.
Where do y'all be growing these Hubert Alexanders?
That's powerful names.
But did voters bring up race?
Voters didn't bring up race that I can recall. You know, you have people that say, well, St. Anne's is a safe seat. There's white people that live there, so you got to throw a white man in there. There's some other idiots who will say, well, even a dog could have ran on the F&M ticket in St. Anne's, and the people would have voted for that dog because it was F&M. That's short-term thinking. In the Bahamas, the reality, I think, is in any sort of democratic society, you have an issue where candidates are weighed either on performance or on appearance. And, you know, it's every man has a vote. It could be a popularity contest. It could be, and that popularity contest could be determined just based on how you look. I mean, you could be a big fat man. And some people say, oh, this fella's unhealthy. Or you could be a white man in the Bahamas, a minority. It doesn't make a difference.
But listen,
wherever we are, we only focus on what we do in the Bahamas because we're Bahamian. But the issues of appearance in politics weighs across the world. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to politics, you elect people either to be members of parliament and backbenchers, or you elect people to govern your country. And if you're looking for governance, you should be paying attention to performance.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I heard a rumor early in the election talks that they were going to send Renwood Wells, former minister, to St. Anne's because it's a safe seat.
And I sensible seat.
A sensible seat. And I quickly told people, look here, I don't think it would be wise to do that to the voters of St. Anne's constituency. I don't think you've read them properly. They're not just voting F&M.
No.
And for me, in my considerations, right, I am tired of parties that put no effort into St. Anne's because they think it's a safe seat. Like you say, it's a sensible seat, and that's why people keep running with it. If you don't send anybody in to oppose, then who are we to vote for?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a bit of personal politics.
Yeah. We have to pay attention to what we're doing in this country as well. We can't oversensitize issues. We can't make things more complex or complicated than they actually are, because people will lose interest when they can't keep up with where they should be going or what they should be doing. You see that in attendance in our churches. You see that in attendance at our polling divisions on election day. And people fought extremely hard for the right to vote in this country. And many people, even some of the younger generation, some of the older generation that said, you know, I voted enough, I've worked the polls enough, they're not paying attention to who they want to govern this country. And, you know, sometimes sooner than later, it's clear the result of lack of attendance brings poor decisions in governance.
Yeah, indeed. I'm going to tell you, you know, y'all cheapest y'all vote for the Chikchani Party, because Chikchanis don't pay attention to your needs anyway.
Yeah, but right? you'll never see those Chikchani politicians.
I mean, but how will it be different? How will it be different? And that leads me to, how are you going to maintain the two, is it one or two constituency offices in St. Anne's?
It's one constituency office, it's one law office, but both are in St. Anne's because I'm invested entirely in my constituency. In addition to living there, I work there, and I hold my office there. and I'm driving about, I'm walking around, I'm in the constituency regularly. It's my home.
So, dear FNM, I'm a little mad at y'all that y'all trying to take my good MP away from me, right? Because I like MP that's present in the community, can be found, can be asked questions, but this role of deputy leader will keep you very, very busy. Okay, I got to manage this time, Mr. White. We're going to take one more call, at least one more call. Dear caller, if you keep it short, I could take a second caller. Let's consider that. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, thank you.
Good morning.
Happy birthday.
Hi, thank you.
And your guest is very articulate. I salute the young man, and I wish him all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Absolutely. One more caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron Green. Happy birthday.
Happy. Well, it's on the clock's birthday.
Okay.
It's Aaron
Green. Mr. Adrian White.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you.
This is the elephant in the room. Now, the part of your party that I don't really kind of agree with, UBP.
Is my party your party?
Not really.
Which party is your party?
Not that you do this.
Which party is your party?
Denounce the UBP racist party, and according to the 67 Royal Commission...
What's your name, my good friend? What's your name first? I mean, you're jumping with elephants and you're starting out racism already.
That's fine.
I mean, but hold on. What's your name, my good friend?
Publicly denounce them because we know they were racist.
We got your question.
According to the 67 Royal Commission...
I don't understand this question.
They contracts and sold it back.
Producer, I just dropped that call. I'm going to make sure we do it properly. Dear caller, is that, I think that's Robert, but I'm not sure. Man, Robert, that's a rough question. It's not fair. It's not refined. It's slightly ambiguous. And this boy is only 44. Now listen.
43. Happy birthday.
Right? So look here. That's like how y'all is telling me I'm a PLP because a lot of my family members are publicly known PLPs. I don't know if it's fair to cast that on Mr. White personally.
Yeah, and that's if that was Robert, that's Robert's issue. Robert's still talking about UBPs. Robert's still talking about racism with UBPs. It wasn't only white people voting back in the day, and I don't have nothing to do with the UBP. The UBP was only in this country for a very short period of time. The PLP was founded before the UBP. The UBP came into existence, and then it disbanded. And it disbanded because it knew what was, it agreed with the movement that was happening in this country, representation by the majority, and it disbanded in the best interest of the people. And that's who it represented for the brief time, whether you disagree with the way they represented or what they did. I don't condone the way things were done in politics back then, same way I don't condone many of the things that are done in politics today. But I'm getting into politics now. I'm getting into the deputy leadership role with the support of the people, with the support of the Free National Movement. I'm going to change politics in this country with our great leader of the Free National Movement Party right now, Mr. Michael C. Pintard.
Boy, look here, I thought you said with the great leader, Aaron Green.
That's Check Shiny Party.
Yes, my bad. Yeah. But listen, we cannot deny, though, that we do have an economic system. Well, we have a system that doesn't enable or allow full participation in the economy.
Yeah, that's capitalism.
But that's what I tell people, right?
I mean, as a lawyer, many Bahamians would have said, you know, we have the right to vote. We're going to get our children in the best schools. We want them to come back as lawyers, doctors, and accountants. When I was called to the bar in 2001, the lawyer number that was given to me was 554, and since 543. In the next 10 years, that number was up to 1,000. I started off my first 3 years, salaries around $23,000, $25,000. It's not what I expected as an attorney. There's no easy road to it. I attended recently the funeral going home service for Wade Sands, the guy from Friendly Ford. He started selling tribunes for 1 cent, and then he was a messenger boy here and there. He got a good opportunity, surrounded himself by the right people, good Christian people. And he had a good partner that he was partnered with for 50 years. But when he made a presentation at one of the schools, I think it was right there on Shirley Street, mm-hmm. he held up three placards that identified the keys to success in life. The first one, he held it up. It said work. The second one, he held it up. It said work. The third one, he held it up, and it also said work. Mm-hmm. You know, so stay where you are if that's how you want to be, or work and change your future, change your trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Now, Minister Darville... this week or last week made reference to amendments to the Mental Health Act after witnessing an explosion, and that's my language, of people who are visibly in need of help and support, right? Mm-hmm. Whether mental, physical, financial. Work, work, work. I understand that. Trust me. Mm-hmm. For me, Family Island vision and determination and discipline is what we need to drive this country, an island country state forward. Are we providing our workers, the people who drive this country, with the support that they need to deal with a multitude of issues that they face, whether it's psychological, for instance, being working in the tourism industry and feeling like you just serving people who want to invisibilize you, or whether it is literal back-breaking work, or if you a police officer or immigration officer or defense force officer and you need access to psychosocial services because of the things that you experience and witness on the job. Are we doing enough, and is the state looking out for providing sufficient oversight for the workers of the country?
We're doing more. We're doing more than what we've done before. Mm-hmm. Political ideologies, I'll say that I'm a conservative. I like the family values. That's the center, church, responsibility for oneself. But I'm also progressive and in a way that I want us to continue to improve. And we have legislation in place. As a parliamentarian now, there are a lot of days, weeks that go by, and we're not debating any legislation. We have a policy where, as legislators, as parliamentarians, we're going to contribute a 30-minute contribution. That's 39 people giving a 30-minute contribution. I'd prefer, especially on pieces of legislation like mental health, but more recently, legislation that needs to be put in place on domestic violence, on marital rape. These issues, these don't need to be platforms that last until the last year of any administrative term. These can be done in a matter of months, and it doesn't need everybody debating so long as the purpose and the reason for the proposed bill is just and it's for the benefit of the people. Then that's how we need to get it in and get it done, and that's how we show that not only we're doing more, we're doing it quicker now because we're more efficient and we're looking out to position our people. Each administration does their best to do that. I can't take credit for the amount of scholarships given at PTVI and at University of Bahamas under the last administration, but those things, they work. We just need to continue to take care of our people so that they can take care of all of us, even family members that have elderly disorders or mental deficiencies, mental issues. And it comes at all times. Stress is hard for us all to take, but you made a comment about serving people that see you as invisible. The people that count on whether they see you or not, it's your family. Yeah. You don't have to worry about people that are giving you money for doing the job. If they see you or not, that don't matter. Get your money, do your work, take pride in the effort you put in, contribute to society, and be a good husband, be a good mother, be a good son, be a good daughter, be a good parent.
Yeah, be a good community member.
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So listen, I've got text callers. I can try get you. I got a ton of texts, and I even get to ask my own questions. Like, the question I wanted to ask you is, rock music or country music?
Rock music, and the best song was with Tony McKay, Exuma.
Yeah, so that's how I know you is young people cheering and not old people cheering, because old people cheering will say country music, right?
Yeah.
And so the young people don't know why we have these links to country music and rock music the way that we do.
Yeah.
And it's not because of whiteness, right? It's because of the way the radios worked.
Yeah.
And what we had access to.
You rock to work. Whatever your rock music is, rock can bring up the intensity. You get pumped to get into work. Country music will take you home. Jesus, take the wheel.
Ah, boy. Listen, Family Island people love up a country music. And I couldn't figure out why, right? You go to summer camp and always playing country music. But that's how I know you as young people.
Yeah, well, we love gospel music. We love religious songs. You know, we love that peace. That peace that comes across through the melodies.
Yeah.
That's what we do in church when we go to church on Sunday. That's what country music brings across too.
You just go to church on Sunday?
As many times as I want. I probably balance that the same way I balance my family life and my political life and my work life. Everybody gets a little bit, but not everybody's getting it all.
Right. As a younger generation parent, you make your children go to school, go to Sunday school and go to church with you?
No, not right now. Okay. Before COVID, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look at your end. I'm going to set you up. They have virtual Sunday school. Y'all could still go. And it just be fun.
Yeah, you need it.
All right. I got somebody here who heard our earlier conversation. They say, CC Sweet and Cobras for life. Y'all Comets and Sockers can't have it all. Text here says, Aaron, ask Adrian, would he publicly, denounce the UBP? Happy birthday on the clock, and your guest is very welcome. Well, the audience says, you are welcome, and thank you for joining us. Another text here says, no, Aaron, you are not a PLP. You just benefit greatly from your family being PLP. How you speak on your show shows you are hard FNM. Just admit it, be real. But I tell you what, I am privileged, right, to benefit from the lives, lived experiences, and the generosity of a plethora of Bahamians. Yeah. It don't have to, ain't nobody ever look at me and say, oh, you's a PLP, we can't pour into you, or oh, you's a FNM, we can't pour into you. And even as relationships change in the community, the neighbors, parents looking at you like, oh, these bad-head children, and even now they still trying to pour into you.
Yeah, radiate positivity and move yourself towards positivity.
All right, let's get to these texts. Miss Green, give age, please. The show is 1 year old. The show is 1 year old. Great show as usual. Tell Miss Green I could beat her making lemonade, and you are guaranteed 2 votes next election, Mr. White.
Amen, amen. God bless that texter.
Miss Green, Mr. White is probably not familiar with your spoiling the ballot theory. He is very familiar because I fly him with every time I see him. I flag down his truck to tell him about it before the election. Texter says, Mr. White is a good talker. I think he meant to say you're very articulate. That's how we say it.
That's all right. I prefer layman terms myself.
Yeah, yeah. We will do you a favor and allow you to keep your MP. We are voting for Shannon Dawn Cartwright.
Good, good.
So Shannon Dawn's running for leader.
I don't know. I don't know who that is, but it's good that the FNMs, because the FNMs, the delegates, the MCMs, the former leaders, deputy leaders, prime ministers, they're the ones that are going to be voting.
Yeah.
And Shannon Dawn's a great, great guy. So anybody that's going to vote for Shannon Dawn, I support them 100%. I want you to give me a hug next time you see me and make a donation to my St. Anne's campaign if that's where you want me to stay.
Huh? Y'all hear that? Marketing. listen, it's great when we can encourage participation. You don't have to vote for me. I just want you to participate. Yep. And that's the message behind the Spoiling the Ballot campaign, which is even if you haven't found somebody you want to vote for, you can still participate in the electoral process. And that's what's most important. Another text. Good morning, Ms. Green. I'm tuning into this great show, and Adrian White is a great guest. Woo-hoo. Another text. Mr. White, talking about Andrus, can we start building the bridge from Nassau to Andrus? We already have 70% of the materials.
I think we definitely need a ferry going across there every day. Just like Bahama Ferries is going over there, we need a plan for the communities over there. Agriculture is huge. Agriculture can make a ton of money. Last administration, Pintard tried to ensure that hotels were buying a percentage from our Bahamian market. You got Chickchawney Farms.
Absolutely.
The Chickchawney Party, they're doing great work. No, strawberries, everything.
Separate Chickchawney.
Separate and apart. But, the Chickchawney people, they know you, unless you want to know if they know each other, then maybe they don't know each other.
Yeah, man. That's Chickchawney from the north, and I am Chickchawney from Fresh Creek.
Yeah, yeah, Chickchawneys.
Mr. White, we are all out of time, and it is also Mr. Lebron Miller.
You didn't even put any boiled fish questions to me.
But this is it. Look here. Just very quickly, fried fish or steamed fish?
Fried fish.
You are not a cultured gentleman. Movies or Ride Out West? What's your favorite?
When I was young, it was a ride. Now it's movies, baby.
Ah, boy, that old age. Major Junkanoo group or scrap group?
Major Junkanoo group, but there's nothing better than scrap music in the entire world. That's Bahamian.
That's absolute spirit. The greatest scrap group in the whole world. The history of white people, Junkanoo, in the whole world. And I only say that because we have a number of white Bahamian members.
Yeah, Bahamas is white people and black people nonstop. Nothing but love.
A mixture of culture and diversity builds this place. And listen, we's Bahamian. If you got culture, we can keep it and make it ours.
Yeah.
You can't keep it for your own. Last question. Beach, canal, or boat?
Beach.
Beach is your favorite.
Let me go on the beach. Yeah, I need shade these days.
All right.
Now, and I don't need rum anymore. Nice, clean coconut water is excellent.
Good, good, good. That's me and you. We could put that down. Thank you, Mrs. White. We were never drinking, so don't worry about that. Last to go, chicken in the bag or conch snack?
Chicken in the bag now. It used to be conch snack, but chicken in the bag.
Look at these.
Rosie's, Dirty's, the same place. Bamboo Shack. We love it.
Oh, Oh, happy birthday, happy birthday. Listen, I gotta go, because guess what? It's not only my birthday, but Unleashed with Levon Miller is also 1 year old. You guys, listen, have a great day today, Mr. White. Thank you for joining me. And we didn't get into any of that F&M deputy politics because it looked like Dwayne and Dwayne Sands and Ellsworth Johnson, they got a bit of a tickle. You know, the big sister come in, and I didn't know what side she's going to fall on, but buddy, buddy, buddy.
You can't go wrong when good people step up to serve.
There you go, there you go. You guys in the F&M, you have a clean, safe, friendly, supportive election. I can try to get some of those other guys on the show. I got to go.
Happy
Producer,
birthday to you.
Take us out of here. Take us out of here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
Thank you to my audience for staying tuned for a whole year. Continue to join me. We'll be right back.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday.